plan, we will call this special meeting budget workshop of Thursday, July 23rd, 2020 to order. Will everybody please rise for the invocation and pledge of allegiance? Our most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing everyone here this evening. Please guide this meeting this evening. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Please be seated. The City of Kirby is dedicated to delivering excellent municipal services to our community in a fiscally responsible manner. Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Pierce?
Here.
Councilmember Grant?
Here.
Councilmember Lehman? Councilmember Salazar?
Here.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
She did notify us that she wouldn't be able to attend tonight.
Mayor Pierce?
Here.
We have a quorum.
And Councilmember Lehman also.
Okay.
Yes. We'll be picking him up at the 7 p.m. meeting.
Okay.
Right. Item 5, citizens' participation. We have two individuals this evening signed up to speak. The first one is Ms. Deborah McMillan. The subject is PFP.
Good evening. Having listened to the recording of the 9 July special meeting, specifically the pay for performance section, I do not agree that time and attendance should be included as part of merit-based pay for performance. Employees are expected to be to work on time, and this should have been discussed and documented in their orientation briefing. As pay for performance is usually an annual occurrence with quarterly reviews, to consider time and attendance in order of achieving a higher score is giving the employee a pay raise at taxpayers' expense for doing what they are expected to do. Criteria that should be included in the performance culture are job knowledge, proficiency, initiative, self-improvement, productivity, accountability, teamwork, which was mentioned, along with specific goals and objectives. Perhaps, in keeping with the city's mission statement of fiscal responsibility, smaller awards could be given to recognize perfect attendance, such as gift cards, free breakfast or lunch, a wall of fame at department level or city hall, similar to Employee of the Quarter, to be funded from awards in the general fund or through budgeted discretionary funding. Attendance should be part of the employee handbook. Tardiness or unexcused absences can be noted on a time and attendance roster. Supervisors should speak with employees to determine if any extenuating circumstances may have caused their actions of tardiness or unexcused absences. Repetitive absences should be noted in the employee's official personnel file. Do a counseling session advising the employee that future occurrences may result in disciplinary action. I speak from experience. As a facilities manager of 4 Department of Defense entities, along with 54 separate funding sites, I was the approver on employee evaluations for over 20 years. Thank you.
Thank you. You good? All right. The next one we have is Anthony Jetter at Landis regarding Ackerman.
Do you want me to talk about this now or wait to the council meeting?
You can, it's up to you. I mean, we are going to have one right after this.
Group's going to be here, correct?
Correct.
Okay,
yes, sir.
All right, that's fine. All right. So the property at 2924 Ackerman Road has been under question about their size and legitimacy for the C2 requirement, okay? New owner brought the property in 2019. It's been brought to their attention that it's too small, and we were told by your city attorney that the property undoubtedly fall under some kind of grandfather clause, just maybe because the plat was an old plat from 1950, and that's the way she was sold the property from what I understood, and then it needs to be replatted. Once it's replatted, then at that point, from my understanding and other people's understanding was, after the plat was approved and the lot is too small, she is going to have to go back to P&Z to find out if they could get a variance on putting this business up on the end of Ackerman, on the end of our Ackerman at 2924. That being said, the plat was approved last meeting, and now we're trying to find out what is going on with this property. I went to a P&Z meeting. The P&Z meeting says nobody has filed for any variances at this point. So the plat has been approved, no variances have been approved, but yet they're pulling permits to do construction. They're also approaching private property to do surveys, site checks, and actually digging on private property, trying to hook up their utilities to this trailer, okay? So I'd like to get it put back on the agenda for the next meeting so we can get some solid answers on this. I know a lot of people on council have questions about this, and we need to find out from the city of Kirby what is going on with this property, with a solid answer. The citizens of Landis need to know what's going on and how to protect our neighborhood against a trailer house being used on a piece of property. That trailer house was supposed to be stored, which C2, you can store a trailer on C2 property, which it is C2, not C1. It can be stored there, not worked on, not strapped down to the ground, and I don't even know if there has been a formal plat of how her property's laid out submitted to anybody at the city so P&Z can even look at it. So at that point, I'd like to get it back on for those reasons, okay?
Right, thank you. That concludes citizens' participation. We will move to item 6, presentation A, discussion and direction on the proposed budget for the fiscal year 2020-2021. I'm turning this over to Tina. Yes, okay. Both of you look like you were prepared to speak, so I just want to make sure.
Okay, as you see, you have a preliminary proposed 2020 and 2021 budget. We will not receive the 2020 certification until next Monday morning. I received an email today. We were hoping it would be in today or tomorrow, but excuse me, it will not be until Monday morning. So with that being said, that's when we'll have our accurate tax rates and revenues and all that at that time. So just to let you know, on the budget that you have, the proposed budget, it does not reflect the property taxes, the sales tax, and the revenue section at all, because I don't have that information till Monday. There's not a whole lot of changes in the revenue section other than a couple things, and I will go down each sheet with you. So as far as the revenues in the general fund, the only thing I did at this point is add the park fundraisers back in. Hopefully we'll get the money next year for our park fundraisers. So there was a $20,000 added back in since we took it out. The other part that I changed was under the grants, which is CDBG, for Borchers grant, and that is $353,000 even. So those are the only two changes that I made currently with the revenue at this time. Is there any questions with that?
On Monday, I just wanted to be clear, even though that's the certification part, that's they're still
I'm presuming there are still protests going on with property taxes, so that could change, correct?
What they were saying in the email this this mid-morning, I don't know exactly where the percentage they are. They were hoping to be at 95%, and they're not quite close that they want to be. So I don't know how far they're going to be off from being 95% complete with all the protests going on. They're doing their best with the protest. Everything, they're still not working in their office. So everything is being done online, telephone, webinar, I mean, you know, through web and stuff like that. Right. So I, at this point, don't know how far they're going to get as far as all the protesters.
I just wanted everybody to understand that even though that certification, that could change due to the outstanding protest currently.
And they have a lot.
Now, and there are a lot.
A lot.
It normally does drop.
Yeah, there should be a lot.
Right now, I was looking, and I got the, as of the end of June, we were like 95% collected with this 2019 taxes, so, which is good. I just don't know what's going to happen with next year, so
right. Okay.
Hopefully we'll be that much collected by next year as well.
I'm not thinking so.
Okay, going over the expenditures.
Tina, also note on here that Ben Zingelman money needs to come out of there. I just saw that.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry.
Not be there, so y'all scratch that out, because we will not get that money.
Why not? If they extended us, why can't we? No, no, no.
We don't want them to extend that. We want it now.
I know.
That is right. That is not taken out. Okay, as far as the expenditures, you will see the yellow highlight in each department. Most of them are minor changes at this point in each department. And of course, you'll see some capital items in some departments. There are no changes in the salaries and the benefits. And when I'm saying benefits, it's such as insurance that we pay. So there is no changes at all as far as each department when it comes to the salaries and benefits in each department. Of course, there will be more changes by next Thursday at our next special meeting. So, but I will go over each department. City Council, there is no change at this point. Going to City Admin, there's just a few, just one change, and that was just the economic development. We changed that from 10 to 5. And then on the capital outlay, where we had the software that we purchased this year, had been taken out, so you'll see a zero down there on the capital item. On the police department, there's a few change as far as supplies and maintenance and miscellaneous, and that is like operational supplies, building maintenance, equipment maintenance, and vehicle maintenance. Training and travel, the only capital outlay that they have at this time is vehicles. The police department is requesting two vehicles, and they are at 32.5 a piece for each vehicle, so that comes to $75,000 in the capital outlay. Again, that would be two Explorer vehicles to replace the old unit of one of the Tahoes and one of the Chargers.
And what are the years of those?
Excuse me?
What are the years of those? What year?
What year are the replacement
those?
One?
Oh, I don't have that in my head.
Oh, no, that's fine. I actually should have asked Chief anyway.
Those two vehicles are really costing the city a lot of money with all the...
I was going to ask, is there any way to get what maintenance has been put out on those, on the ones that we're replacing?
I will be right back.
Please.
You keep going.
Okay. So Like I said, on the other items are all mainly small amount and just differences here that we change here and there. But as far as your capital outlay on the police department, which are two police cars. I'll move into municipal court. There's just one change, and that into the impound yard expense. We did have a lot of cars come in this fiscal year, and so we've had to increase it, I believe twice in the budget amendment. It might just be one time. So I brought it back down again for next fiscal year. If we get more cars to impound again, I can always increase it if we're gonna have to pay out more. So I just brought it back down in case we don't get as many as we did this year. In the fire department, there was a few change in as far as the maintenance and the contract services and miscellaneous. The contract services, of course, is gonna be mainly the fire pumper lease and the interest on that. So we have a payment every year in September. So that would be the current note payment for next year. So that is where you see that difference is. The membership has gone up a little bit. As you know now, we are completely staffed with 24 firefighters and EMT and paramedic between both departments. So you're gonna have more membership fees that's gonna have to be taken care of.
When you say both departments, just for everybody to know, that's the ESD.
Yes. There's 12 here in Kirby plus the chief, and there's 12 at ESD. So that makes you 25 employees for the fire department. The capital outlay item they're asking for is the computer-aided dispatch, which is called the CAD. They're requesting $30,000 for the CAD. And I will, if you have questions about that, I'd have William explain that. The only other thing is the chassis. Remember last year we approved $110,000 for the chassis. Well, with the COVID, the manufacturers are behind. So they were not able to get our chassis done by September 30th of this year. So they're looking at December of this year. So I had to carry that $110,000 over from this fiscal year to next fiscal year, since that's when we'll get the chassis at that time.
But that's still a wash because we already had the money out, right? Okay.
Chief, would you mind telling everybody what the CAD system is? You need a fumigate?
I'm good. The computer-aided dispatch system is designed to make the dispatcher's job easier. Instead of having three tasks that they have to put the item in or more, it's a simple task. It also will automatically send to an app on the phone, which is on my phone. When the call is entered, it will go to everybody's phone that has that app, so they would have the appropriate address, the chief complaint, as the dispatcher is dispatching it. Helps with me being notified, especially 2 o'clock in the morning, of a structure fire or something else going on in the city. It will tie in with what the police department has done. There's three parts to this, which is the mobile, which the fire department's not looking at. We are just looking at the computer-aided dispatch system side of it. My understanding is the server has already been upgraded to fit the CAD when dispatch did their upgrades, the police department did their upgrades. So the fire department, we're just wanting to get that, the third part of the aspect, and it's with Tyler Encode, so it works with the system.
And so are the phone numbers that it sends the information to, are those managed by dispatch?
No, ma'am. It would be under an app. It would be Active 911, which the fire department pays for.
So what happens if somebody leaves? How do they not get the information that is
On the fire side of things, I delete their number from the app.
Okay, that's what I was wondering. So somebody has that?
Yes, ma'am. Okay. I have control over it. Somebody leaves, we take their subscription away, okay, and we put it towards somebody else.
All right. That's what I was asking.
No problem.
And is that voluntarily made for the phones? And I only say that because not everybody has a paid phone.
Yes, ma'am. It is voluntarily. The department pays for the subscription. So if somebody doesn't want the app, we don't pay for that particular subscription. We pay for 30 subscriptions a year.
Okay.
So they just float when you need them. They float as you need them.
Yes, sir. The subscriptions do, yes.
I only ask because there may be somebody that doesn't want that on their phone.
Correct.
So I was just making sure that it,
you want to get up at 2 o'clock
it was
in the morning.
Something voluntarily, not something that was, you know, asked of employees that we don't pay for their phones.
Correct. Right now, currently, every employee has it. We do pay for every employee. Dispatch, right now, they enter it into their system, then they have to go to a web page and be able to put that call in order for the app to receive the call information. And this just takes that extra step away as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Wait, spray. Hot.
You want to go back to the...
Yes, ma'am. I just thought we would take some time since we had the time to use. All right, let's go back to the maintenance
department
on those two police cars. Yes, ma'am.
Well, one's down and gone, and the other one's close.
Right, so the one that's red is the one that we just put out of service, yep, with the replacement, the crime control purchase. The one right under that, 4133, is the Tahoe that we'd like to put out of service. You see it has 85,000 plus miles on it, and we've spent over $12,000 in maintenance on that vehicle. If you see over the last three fiscal years, it's broken out. And then right under that is vehicle 4141, which is a 2014 Dodge Charger, has about 73,000 miles on it, and we have spent as well over $12,000 in maintenance on it.
We seem to go through transmissions, Chief. Transmissions suffer a lot.
Yes, sir, they do.
When you sit there and
I'm not good fortune, we have not had transmission problems.
Well, because there's no freeway miles, that's why.
Yeah. But actually, I mean, we're still, the maintenance is high, and the two vehicles would offset that in a heartbeat.
And what's actually proposed right now is for the city to buy the two vehicles, and in the crime control budget that's proposed, they have the purchase of all of the equipment to outfit the two vehicles.
Where did it come from, Chief?
The two vehicles?
Yes, sir.
Well, we'd have to go off the bids because of the cost. But in the past, we only purchased one vehicle, and we don't have to make competitive bids. We primarily use Jordan Ford in Bible. They're very good about having vehicles readily available that we can go and get on the day and pay for them, rather than waiting 6 or 8 months to have one delivered.
And then we go ahead and put the equipment on them.
Yes, sir. We're currently, right now, there's a company called Rescue Ops, and they would supply lights, sirens, whatever is needed for the vehicle. They will also decommission the old vehicles and transfer equipment that is needed. Like, for instance, we won't ask for a new radio or new radar. Those are in the current vehicles. They can be removed from those vehicles and put into new vehicles. Some equipment will have to be replaced through simply because Chevy Tahoe is much larger than a Ford Explorer, and they just won't physically fit.
Cages, yeah, like cages. Ours. Your cage don't fit and things like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Thank you, Monique.
Okay, so we'll move on to Animal Services Department. Again, we just made some minor changes to supplies, maintenance, and contract. We did add the training and travel back in. We went down on the veterinarian expenses. Seems like they're not using as much as they usually do. The only thing that we did on building maintenance is that they would like to have the outside kennels covered. And so that's where that expense is primarily going to be for the building maintenance. Something else over there too.
That was it.
Was it? Okay. So that's all on animal services. They don't have any capital item at this time.
And the floor was already done?
Yes.
It's going to be done with the budget amendment we just did this
right.
year.
So
that'll so be
it's
done
gonna
before
be done
the end
before
of the fiscal.
This. Okay.
It won't be just a new one. It's in the old one, right?
Right. It's buffing it and painting it, sealing it properly.
I just wanted to know if that was the difference between the two. The one that's 17.5 moving to 10. I just wanted to know if that was part of that.
Okay. Yeah, so in the 17.5, because that's showing our most recent amendment.
Right, so that
yeah,
I was
that.
Just wondering if that was the part where it was in.
Yes.
Okay, moving on to parks. There's only two changes. It would just be the vehicle maintenance and the pool management. Our contract will be up, I believe, in November for our current pool management. So we'll have to go out for bids again, and well, not out for bids, but for another proposal. And so I just increased that just a little bit in case it goes up on the next proposal. The park does not have any capital items, so you will not see anything in that section.
And I'm sorry, can we go back to animal services on the miscellaneous for the training and travel? Why was there a larger increase there?
On which one?
The travel and training and travel for animal services.
Okay. We decreased it to cover some other areas in the budget amendment. And so, and because of COVID going on now, there was no training, really to be any training going on. So I put that item back in there in case the officers have to go to any kind of training or anything.
I was just, okay.
So it initially, when we had started the fiscal year, was at 4,000, because that's
right.
when we had four employees.
Correct.
And then we decreased it, and
to
actually 1500. We were fortunate because they did local training.
Right.
We actually hosted it, so it didn't cost us any travel. And then we had some out-of-town training scheduled for the ACO renewals, but that was canceled due to COVID.
Right.
So we anticipate it'll be back on next fiscal year.
Okay.
So that 2,000 should cover the three employees who may need to travel.
Okay.
Did you have a change on that park maintenance at vehicle maintenance?
Was on the parks?
Change? Yeah.
Yeah, they have a new vehicle in that department, so there really hasn't been any expenditures in that department. So we just decreased it. And a lot of these, most of them are what the department head give me. Sometimes they have a larger amount, or they might have a smaller amount. You know, just when they have a larger amount, I have to kind of look at it. One thing I have to remind them is that, you know, the first thing the auditor is going to ask me is, you have such a large amount in your budget, but you didn't spend as much, so why do you allocate that? You need to bring it down.
Right.
And so, or they may have a smaller amount, not realizing, okay, we still have July, August, and September month to go to pay the bills. So they're looking at the current year-to-date actual at this time, but you still have 2.5 months to go yet. So I make the adjustments with that, but they usually give me the amount that they want to change up or down. Is there any other things with animal control or parks before I move on to street? Okay, the only changes that were done on streets were the supplies. As you can see, there were several items that were changed, and they were like minimal amount. So either they went up or they went down, but they're pretty minimal. As far as maintenance, there's two items. The street reconstruction, that is, we went through to the street assessment from M&S Engineering. And the thing that we pulled out, of course, they have two different sections in the 2021 street assessment that M&S Engineering did. We pulled mainly the crack seal for all the street that they required or acquired. And then we also included Ben Engelman Road, which is the bridge from the bridge to the east side of the city limits. So usually we have it at $70,000, but we increased it to $72,100 to be able to cover all the crack seal plus that Ben Engelman project. So it increased just a little bit. On contract services, we have our interest and our street sweeper payment, and this will be the last year that we'll have that payment on that sweeper, and it'll be paid in full.
And if Tina, if we could just go back up to traffic control signs,
thank
and
you.
Want to mention that that included a request we were asked to look at replacing the school zone signs at both Hopkins and Kirby Middle School because they were constantly going out. We did an assessment and we've spent a significant amount on maintenance over the last 3 years, so it actually would come out cheaper to replace the signs. But this is only going to cover one, either one at each school or two at one school, you know, going each direction and then maybe look at the next year doing the other school.
And I still don't understand why that wouldn't be something that falls under JISD since it's their school in our city and it's, I mean, they pretty much run that traffic. I know that we're there, but do they ever have a definitive reason why they don't pay for that signage at their schools?
On our street.
Okay. Interesting.
Their school, our street.
So we only have one thing in the capital outlay, and that would be the CDBG for butchers. So with that, it's $388,350 for the butchers project.
I think even though they say that I would like to draft a letter, because our police officers also manage that street in front of their school and direct their traffic. So I think I'd like to draft a letter for that to see if they'll help assist with that.
Okay, is there any other questions about street? Okay, so we'll move on to general operation. We did a few changes to supplies. The main thing we did was put the $20,000 back in there for the park fundraiser. So providing if we get the revenue next year, we will have the fundraiser for the July 4th celebration next year.
We're all hoping we get to celebrate next year.
Because as you see, I took it out on the last budget right. amendment, so I put that back in there. Again, the other things were very minor. The other big expense would be under contract services. And the reason is the election expense, I usually have $10,000 in there, but because we're gonna have two elections next fiscal year, the one would be in November and the other one will be in May. Now, if we should have to pay this fiscal year, I was talking to Patty the other day, if we would pay for November in this fiscal year, then I'll probably make a change if it's in time before we adopt the budget. I'll make that change to the election expense. But at this time right now, I don't know what it would be and when we would pay it. So I just took the $10,000 from this fiscal year and added it to next year's budget because of the two election. And that's all I have on general operation. There's no capital outlay on that one. May I move on to the water?
Yes. Anybody else have any questions on general? All right. Go ahead.
Okay, we'll move on to water. Again, there's not hardly any changes done as far as the revenue. The only thing I did change was the interest income. As you all know, the interest has gone down tremendously. So I did change interest income, and I'll be doing that on the general fund next one. But that's the only thing that I changed on the revenue. Again, the salaries and benefits were not changed at this time. So we'll move on to supplies. There were three items that were changed, and it was operational, fuel, and topsoil. So they were minor changes at this time. Then going on to maintenance, there was only two changes, and that's just building maintenance and wells and pumps and motors. So those are the only two changes there. And then move on to contract services. It was a minimal change on the utility billing service, so it just went down. The only thing that I have at this point for capital is the tractor and arm mower. They are looking at a tractor and an arm mower that does the stormwater area ditches. And so that is at $58,000. Now, there is some thing that Michael had on his sheet that he's working on, and that would be some more things with the water line and the sewer line. I do not have them on this capital outlay because I don't have the full information and where those items are going to be done. So it will be on the next budget.
Michael, would you like to explain about the tractor and arm mower?
Yes, ma'am.
But we...
I'm from the country,
well,
so I know.
Yeah. Well, I know what it is, but at the same time, since it's so much, I just want everybody to understand, especially if we're talking about the ditches, because that's been a contention point with a lot because of the mosquitoes and the fact that we can't get back there. And so,
ma'am. So, with respect to the tractor and the arm mower, not with respect to anything else you're discussing, but to answer the question with respect to the tractor and the arm mower, my thought process is that in order to better service your stormwater ditch system, all we can do currently is mow the very bottom with either a bat wing or just a small brush hog. There are some areas throughout your drainage ditch system that we are unable to get large tractors in. And so part of the complaints that we receive are the ditches are not being mowed, they're not being mowed correctly or well enough. So I looked into trying to help alleviate some of the situations that your residents are complaining about, and investigating that, I found a tractor and an arm mower. And this tractor and arm mower, I believe, I have not seen a demonstration yet, but I believe that by purchasing this, we can mow up the sides of the stormwater ditches. Now, there are many places throughout your stormwater system that I'm not able to mow the tops because our tractors are not that small to get in there. So this is just a step forward in trying to do better for your drainage system.
And is it just a typical operating system, or would we need to send somebody to school or training to operate it, or would they offer training, or is it just...
They'll need to be trained on the proper operation of it, and they will train us on that.
Okay, so is that included in the cost?
No, it was not specified.
Okay.
I just was looking for just a rough concept as to the initial capital outlay for this equipment.
We may just need to make sure so that we can have a, if we do need to send training or have training, that we make sure that we capture that if we're going to have one, two, however yeah. many people in that area.
And we'll see if it's like when we bought the street sweeper, it came right. with so much paid training.
Yes.
So
we'll
normally, when you make a purchase like that, the manufacturer provides training.
Which is great if those employees are still here, but then when those employees leave.
It was implied when I did speak with the salesman that that would occur, but it was not written down to confirm that. And that also does include the delivery and setup of that piece of equipment, because we do not possess the equipment to move that equipment from that site to our site.
Anybody else have any questions about that? Okay, thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Why don't you start spraying each other? Wouldn't that be simpler?
That's what BJ did last time. She just sprayed herself. Uh huh.
So at this time, that's all the capital outlay that I have at this time. Again, there will be some water line and sewer line that we will have by the next meeting. So, sorry, I don't have that in there yet because I need to get more details on that.
On our next meeting for Thursday, can we have the column that actually shows what was spent in each of those
yes.
columns?
Sure.
I know it has the amended part of the budget, but if we could have actual spend in a column. Have anything else for Tina?
Yes, and to get, we're still going to do the insurance dance again, right?
Yeah, so where we are right now is our, you know, we go through insurance brokers and they have to do the request for proposals for us. They got some preliminary information that said our current health insurance provider is willing to give us a rate pass. They've negotiated that down. However, we looked it up and the state law requires that we still have to go out for proposals. So they will go through that process and we'll see if something comes in cheaper. If not, more than likely we would be recommending to take the rate pass for the current health insurance, and then they'll give us some estimates for dental, vision, life insurance, and all the ancillary insurances. So that'll be probably, I think it's the first meeting in August, typically is usually around that time frame. We'll bring you that information. We will have to do the bid opening and the proposal information virtually because the brokers are not allowed to travel to the cities right now, so they're doing everything remotely.
Great.
All righty.
Does anybody else have any questions for Tina? Monique, do you have any comments?
No, ma'am. Just if you all have any other capital requests or concerns, or if any of the residents have any suggestions, you can submit those, you know, to us by email. You know, like we mentioned a couple of meetings back, we're really just operating off of current tax rate and estimates until we get a true proposed tax rate, and we'll know that by Monday. We really don't know if we'll even be able to include all of these capital expenditures. So this is what we'd like to have, but it's still very, very early to determine.
The slaughtering of the wish list continues in the next meeting.
Yes, sir.
Anybody else have anything else? All right, meeting adjourned at 6:45.